But Luke chapter 17, I want to finish up our study from Sunday school on Sunday. How to increase our faith. Won't be real long tonight, I don't believe, but notice here Luke chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. Just by way of reminder of the context here. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. All right, here's the verse that we were focusing on, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity to gather here tonight. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to have this desire, even as the disciples are asking the Lord in this context. Lord, increase our faith. And Lord, as we look at tonight how we can increase our faith, I pray that you'd help us to stir up that desire, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll remind you again, Romans 12:3 says that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. All right, so every one of us has a measure of faith. And what's interesting is, God enables us, as we see in this context here in Luke 17, God enables us to increase our faith. But again, it's all based on desire. Now, as we look at tonight here, I want to give you just a list of things that the Lord brought to my mind as I was considering here how to increase our faith. First of all, notice Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. How to increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So how is that possible? First of all, notice Luke chapter 1. Know the certainty of what you believe. Here's why I say this. If somebody has doubts about what they believe, it is going to affect your faith. All right, so I don't know if I really believe that or not. Notice it says here, Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. This is the introduction, of course, as Dr. Luke is presenting this gospel account here. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us. So notice here there's some doctrinal convictions here. Even as they delivered them unto us, excuse me, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first. Notice, as he studied through all these things, notice God gave him perfect understanding of all things from the very first. All right, so from the first the beginning of John the Baptist on through the ministry of Christ and so on. Notice to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. So here's an orderly presentation of the things that he was able to understand through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It says that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. Notice again the emphasis in verse 1. Most surely believed among us. Also verse 4, knowing the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. So the things that we've been taught, we must, in order for an increase of faith, we must have a personal conviction about these things. Well, yeah, my church believes that. Okay, what about you? It's one thing for your church to proclaim what they believe, but what about you? Notice it's most surely believed among us. So again, know the certainty of what you believe. If you have doubts about your biblical convictions, it will affect your faith. Second of all, notice also that we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. Of course, Ephesians 5:18 gives us the command, be filled with the Spirit. Notice here in Acts chapter 6, there's a statement that is very interesting in relation to Stephen in particular. While you're turning there, Acts 11:24 says that Barnabas was full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. Notice they go together. The filling of the Holy Spirit, I believe, is what strengthens and increases our faith. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. All right, so this is the daily provision for food for the widows. And we see in 1 Timothy 5, the regulations that Paul gave Timothy in relation to churches having this ministry to widows. It says, then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason, it's not good, it's not fitting, that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. They are not saying that serving tables are unimportant. Obviously, it was important enough in this church. It was causing division in the church. But what they're talking about is our first priority is not the serving of the tables. Our first priority needs to be the word of God. It's not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, notice, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They're saying that was their two top priorities. Then notice here in verse 8, it says, and Stephen, singling out one of these men, it says, Stephen, notice, was full of faith and power, and notice, did great wonders and miracles among the people. But again, we notice here the emphasis, in verse 5, talks about, that's the reference I was looking for here. It says, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. That's why I wanted to focus on that phrase there, being full of faith and of the Holy Ghost go hand in hand. So again, we see here the emphasis on being filled with the Spirit has an effect on our faith. Third, I want you to consider also, believe the promises of Scripture. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. All right, here, of course, we have the example of Abraham. This is one of my favorite passages in relation to Abraham, especially when I am struggling maybe sometimes in the expression of my faith in God and how I believe God wants to work in and through our church and in my life. It says in verse 16, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, notice, who is the father of us all, including us Gentiles. Spiritually, we are a part of, that's why that song goes, Father Abraham, had many sons. Verse 17, and as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Notice these statements here in verse 18 and following. Who against hope believed in hope. All right, so here's this man who's almost 100 years old. His wife is almost 90. Against hope. They were not, humanly speaking, they didn't see how it was possible to have a child. That's why may Ishmael live before you. Eliezer is my heir. He kept reasoning with God. It's like, well, you've not given me a son yet, so... Notice, against hope, he believed in hope. In fact, that's the whole key when God says, count the stars, look at the stars, see if you can number them. It says he believed in God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So against hope, he believed in hope. And can I remind you that at first, even after Genesis 15, as God comes to visit with him, he says, Sarah's going to have a child. And it says, Abraham laughed. But then also Sarah laughed and she denied it. Now, at least Abraham didn't deny it from what we see. But, of course, Isaac's name means laughter. So the laughter of doubt became the laughter of rejoicing. It says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Notice this statement. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Notice that. He did not stagger. Yes, there were doubts. He struggled from time to time with that. But notice in the end, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. This is why God wants to fulfill his promises. And notice this phrase in verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Genesis 15, 6. So again, we see here, believing the promises of Scripture, believing God's promises. Of course, as I emphasized on Sunday, we have all kinds of promises given to us in the New Testament. We don't have to borrow from promises from Israel. 2 Corinthians 1, 20 that we saw on Sunday, all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yea and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Believe the promises of Scripture. And as we see God fulfill his promises, it will strengthen our faith. Also consider that we must perfect what is lacking in our faith. or allow, at least allow others to do that. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, let me give you a little bit of historical background as far as 1 Thessalonians. The Apostle Paul, of course, obviously started the church there in Thessalonica. And because of persecution that came from the Jews that showed up in town there, they kept following him around. Because of persecution, it got to the point where they determined it was best for him to move on. The Apostle Paul left Thessalonica sooner than he was planning. So the Apostle Paul had a lot of concerns about whether or not they were, how they were doing spiritually with the persecution that was coming and so on. So notice in that context, he says here, in fact, verse 9 says, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you? For all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly, that we might see your face." Why was he wanting to return to Thessalonica? So that he might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Notice he wanted to perfect what was lacking in their faith. And again, this is the context when the Apostle Paul is wanting to finish what he was not able to finish as far as his church ministry there. I want you to consider this is one reason why God gives us spiritual leaders. Young people, I want you to pay attention. God has given you parents on purpose. It's not like the world of nature. When all of a sudden, they're hatched, they're gone. It takes 18 plus years sometimes, 20 years, now 30 years. It's getting longer and longer, it seems, in our modern day. But I want you to think about this. God has given you parents to perfect what is lacking in your life. Sometimes they have to use chastening, those kinds of things, to perfect. What are they trying to do? They're trying to smooth off the rough edges in your life. Listen to them. Pay attention. I believe God also gives us pastors for that. Of course, in this case, the Apostle Paul started this church. But he says he wanted to perfect what was lacking in their faith. Yield yourself to this perfecting work so that your faith is strengthened and increased. Number 5, consider also Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7. Here's another way I believe we can increase our faith. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them, all right, so we're obviously consciously trying to recall them. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. All right, so obviously a preacher, teacher, whatever the context might be, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Notice it says here, we're to recall, bring to mind, those who have spoken the word of God to us. I have written out in my Bible here, Alfred Pratt. Alfred and Janetta Pratt bring back some good memories for me. I was probably about 6 to 9 years old when we were in a Temple Baptist Church in Charles City, Iowa. And I remember often, as our family became active in the church and started helping, we helped in the building of the new building and all those things, and more my dad than me, obviously. But here's the thing about that is... Alfred and Janetta Pratt often would invite us over to their house on Sunday nights. And it didn't matter. We had to get up for school the next morning, make sure we were up in time to catch the bus. But I want you to think about this. Often we would go there and literally Alfred and Janetta Pratt were building into our family's life. My family's life as I was 7 to 9 years old in particular. I was saved in that church, 7 years old, almost 8. And here's the thing I often think about. I can't consciously remember any particular sermons that I heard from Alfred Pratt. I listened to him. I remember listening, but I was a young child. I remember falling asleep on New Year's Eve watch night services. I'd stay up for a little bit of the singing, and next thing I know, my parents are waking me up because it's almost midnight. The memories that I have of Temple Baptist Church, in particular, the Pratt's ministry. Even though I cannot remember a lot of those things, as a young child, I watched their lives. In fact, in many ways, they were like an extra set of grandparents for us. We were close by our grandparents at that time. But I want you to think about the influence, the working that they had in our lives. And you think about what a lot of young people today have. How many times I've seen in Christian families, the parents will allow their children to put posters up of some sports star or some musician or whatever. You don't know what those their lives are like. And then you find out later on that they're living a wicked life. So who are we following? Who are we trying to follow? Notice our faith is strengthened as we follow the faith of those and we consider the end of their conversation. How do you know their faith? How do you know what their faith produces? By watching their life. So follow the examples of faith. Jude verse 20, another way to strengthen our faith. Jude in verse 20. Of course, in the context of Jude dealing with false teachers, they were coming into the churches, saying that we're to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered. It says here, verse 20, but ye, beloved, notice this phrase here, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Notice that phrase again, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. It must be a personal faith. Again, young people, I challenge you. You cannot make it on your parents' faith. It has to become your faith. And I every once in a while, I remember my dad would be visiting with Mr. Leonard, an older man in our neighborhood, went to the same church as we did in Des Moines. And in many cases, Mr. Leonard would sit around visiting with my dad. And I remember the one conversation that my dad emphasized sometimes as he was preaching. Mr. Leonard would ask, what do you believe about such and such? What do you believe about this particular doctrine? And my dad would start it off by saying, Dr. Kober says, this. I don't care what Dr. Kober believes. What do you believe? And again, your most holy faith. But also consider here the personal responsibility. It says building up yourselves on your most holy faith. This personal responsibility is your life of faith. You must do it. I'm responsible for preaching the truth. I'm responsible for proclaiming the truth. It's your responsibility to build up yourself on your most holy faith. Notice also requires a life of holiness. Notice it's described here as holy faith. Not only holy faith, but your most holy faith. There must be a holiness, but also praying in the Holy Ghost. This is not tongues. This is not all that kind of stuff. I believe this is praying. In fact, I believe it's related to Revelation chapter 1, where it says John on the Isle of Patmos was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Also, Ephesians 6:18 talks about praying in the Holy Ghost. I believe this is where we are sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading in our prayer life. So again, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Also, we must forgive the offenses of others. We're not going to take time to look at it again, but Luke 17 verses 3 and 4 says, in the context, forgiveness. He says, all right, so they repent, forgive them seven times a day. And I really believe, even as you look at Matthew 18 and other passages, that when we refuse to forgive someone, whoever it is, maybe it's a former pastor that wronged us, or sometimes parents. I've known of adults who still live in bitterness towards some things that the parents did. I mean, it's time to forgive. And I want you to consider that when we do not forgive, it will stunt our faith. It will hinder our faith from increasing. Something else, listening to the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Titus 1:3 says that God has manifested His Word through preaching. This is one of the purposes why we should listen to preaching and teaching, so that our faith is strengthened, so that our faith increases. I believe that's even practical, very practical, when you consider what God says about that in Romans 10:17. Sometimes we just need to listen to the Word of God. Or so you want to increase your faith, listen. You want a blessing, according to Romans 1, you read it. So you can have both of them. You listen and read. Sometimes that's why I'll read the Psalms, I'll pray the Psalms out loud. Because I'm also hearing it as I read it. But listening to the Word of God will strengthen and increase our faith. Notice with me, Galatians chapter 2. Right? Galatians chapter 2. Something else here. All right, so sometimes we feel weak in our faith. Remember on Sunday we saw that the disciples sometimes had no faith, according to what Jesus said. Sometimes they had little faith. Sometimes they continued in unbelief. And again, these are followers of Jesus. They've already made a profession of faith, believing that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. But there's times when they struggled in their faith. Galatians 2:16, I want you to take notice in particular of a statement. In fact, I preached a whole message on this just before I left Hawaii several years ago. But knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but notice this, we are justified, we are declared righteous by the faith. It does not say faith in Jesus Christ. It says the faith of Jesus Christ. I want to emphasize something. Does Jesus ever have a weak faith? He is faithful. Notice here it says, by the faith of Jesus Christ. And notice then we have clarification, the next phrase. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ. So notice here, we're justified by the faith of Jesus, his faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. Again, prepositions are very important. So we need to learn them. Grammar class, it says here, even we have believed in Jesus Christ. So notice his faith, and we have believed in him, that we might be justified. Notice again, it's emphasized, by the faith of Christ. That's how we are justified. We're not justified in anything that we do, like we saw in the election series, Calvinism series. Justification, or perseverance as a part of justification. That's heresy. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Verse 20, we have this statement again. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, all right, so not only justified by the faith of Christ, but notice we live by the faith of Christ. I live, this life I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I want you to think about the fact that we must depend wholeheartedly upon the faith of Jesus Christ. His faith does not fail. Also chapter 3 and verse 22. Again, I'm just going to show you a few of these references here. Galatians 3:22, the scripture, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ, not faith in Jesus Christ, that's something different. Notice the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. All right, so there's the faith in Christ. Also, Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. Again, this is a fascinating study. As I was doing some study and reading, as I mentioned several years ago, I came across that statement and it grabbed my attention because it was clarified even in Galatians 2:16, as we saw. Notice it says here in Ephesians 3, verse 12, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In reality, I believe what that's saying there is, as Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of majesty on high, as our faithful high priest, notice, we have confidence by his faith that we can go into his presence. His faith does not fail. Something else in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Yield to the strengthening of trials. This is an amazing thing how this works. Sometimes it's hard to accept this. But in reality, trials are one of the things that God uses to strengthen our faith. It says 1 Peter 1:5, we'll look at this context, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Manifold means a variety of temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, notice, the trial of your faith that's precious is going to be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom, though now for ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's supernatural faith. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Chapter 5 and verse 10. Chapter 5 and verse 10. It's one of my favorite titles of God here in verse 10. The God of all grace. Notice, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after, notice that, after that ye have suffered a while. We're not going to suffer forever. Only unbelievers are going to suffer forever. We're going to suffer for a while. This too shall pass eventually. But notice, after we suffer for a while, notice what's going to happen. It'll make us perfect, establish, strengthen, settle. This is God's working, and he uses trials to do this. The God of all grace, he's called us, but he's going to make us perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us through the trials of our faith. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. God is doing all of this for his glory, yielding to the strengthening of trials. Finally, make sure of your faith in Christ for salvation. Here's why I say this. There's times when I talk to people, I wonder if they're trusting in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. They constantly struggle with their faith. I want you to think about the fact that when there's no assurance of salvation in our lives, remember what 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Notice they believe that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe, in essence, continue believing on the name of the Son of God. When we lack assurance of our eternal security, it will whittle away at our faith. So let me ask you tonight, how long has it been since you've prayed, Lord, increase our faith? Father, I pray that you'd help us to desire an increase of faith. Lord, we thank you for what your word says, that we've been given the measure of faith. Everyone has been given the measure of faith. The problem is that multitudes, most people in our world today, misapply that faith by putting it in some false god like Allah or some Hindu god or even themselves or the government, whatever. They've misplaced that faith that you've given to them. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, after our salvation, to desire this increase of faith. Lord, even as we considered 11 things here tonight, I know there's others, but these are the things that you brought to my mind. Lord, help us to yield ourselves to these things so that we can see an increase of faith in our lives. And Lord, this is not just for us, but as you increase our faith, Father, first of all, it's for your glory, but it's also, Lord, to be able to strengthen the faith of others. I pray that you'd help us to have that kind of influence, that kind of ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.